Blog Talk Radio.
And all good people out there.
And happy 2017.
Happy 2017 to you.
I do hope that everybody's 2017 is as wonderful as they would love it to be. And better.
Everything that you aspire and hope for, we wish will come to you. This is Rosie Wall.
And Clara Gibson here in a slightly grey Ramsgate.
Tupperware sky this afternoon.
Tupperware sky.
Tupperware.
Strange.
Yeah.
So today we are talking about something that many people experience.
I think everyone experiences it.
At some point. Yeah, like, this is true, Rosie.
Indeed,
that's
thank you so much.
So we're talking about loneliness.
Loneliness.
And we just passed Christmas, which actually, if you've been listening into our other episodes, you know is not either of our particularly favourite points of the year. And
we got through it okay, actually.
We did, yeah. Actually, completely.
And but using so many lots people. Of positive thinking all the way through it, challenging all previous behaviours or associations and reaching out for other people. It was actually quite in a positive
fun.
New way.
It was fun. That was what you did.
Certainly
what I did. That's what you did. And I was sort of similar.
You were in various yoga positions.
I had my leg under my shoulders or something like that, or my head under my elbows.
Indeed.
Or something of that ilk. But anyway, the thing about Christmas and the reason why I mention it is that for some people and many people, actually it's a time where they feel very, very lonely. So we decided that today we would look at loneliness. And I believe that, Rosie, you have some of your fabulous...
Oh, Clara, thank you so much. I'm so glad you invited me in to mention my statistics. And don't forget my quotes, because my quotes will be very, very relevant a little later on.
Okay.
The first piece of really interesting information about the concept of loneliness is that, just doing some very brief statistical research, there are approximately four age groups, Clara, of people who are very, very prone to becoming lonely. Obviously, the over 80, an age concern really deals with much of that, and we're all aware of how difficult it is at that particular age group.
They do a bit. So they do as much as they can.
As much as they can.
Considering that they're voluntary funded and actually have, you know, it's hard going.
It's amazing what they do. And actually we could do a programme about that in its own right.
Yes.
But what's particularly interesting are the next three categories that perhaps have been overlooked.
And these are working backwards.
And I'm working backwards.
Yeah.
These are, thank you for that, Clara. These are huge and insightful.
Because otherwise you'd think you could get right through life and you only get lonely at the age of 80.
Indeed.
That would be amazing.
That would
be a terrible shock for people, though, at the age of 80.
It would be
80.
Like Benjamin Button, wouldn't it, going backwards?
Yeah.
Anyway,
carry on.
The age group would be... 52 to 63 is the next big band of difficulty in relation to loneliness.
Can I just ask, can I interrupt? Because actually, I might as well.
Yes.
Actually.
Why
do they say that the 52 to 50, 60?
When we talked about this earlier, we were looking about periods of women's life particularly.
Yes.
I shouldn't
the
say
milestones.
That. It does affect men as well. The milestones. Yes. And that's the point where your babies might have flown
left
the nest.
Syndrome. I've had that bit.
You might also be divorced. Yes, you've just...
But you could get divorced earlier.
You could, well, several times indeed.
Well, several
but
times.
But we're not talking indeed. About that. Not right now. Indeed. It's moving swiftly along. Several divorces later. So that's kind of symptomatic of that age group.
Bereavements.
And that is much to do with the whole passage of life having happened. You know, you've lived this great, throbbing life. And then one hopes indeed.
Some people haven't. It's a shame.
And then the other category, which is really interesting, and I think they are dealing with this at university campuses now more and more.
Yeah. Mental health really high.
Mental issues. Health issues at university.
Yeah.
University years about from the age of 21 to 33 were found as critical years for confusion about one's identity and real abject periods of loneliness.
Yes, I suppose. But actually, I wonder, I mean, age 21, did you say?
That's what the statistics
but
say.
But actually,
yeah.
I suppose for university students, they're actually coming to the end. For so many, they're coming to the end.
Well, I remember my time. It is at the end because you've gone through the most radical evolutionary part of developing your brain for a period of 3 to 4 years.
Indeed, and then,
indeed.
Yeah.
And then you're suddenly cast out into the world and then, whoa, hang on a minute. I can't even, get a job.
Well, yes, and you've had all of that sort of very close living, often with fellow students, living a very similar kind of life, exploring everything and actually having fabulous discussions. And then all of
and
a sudden...
And great hope as well.
And great hope.
Aspirations.
And then aspirations. And then actually you've done this degree that's cost you an enormous amount of money.
And your family and everyone who knows you is affected by the fact that you've done this.
And then you actually find that you're either fortunate and in the workplace, and as a coaching client of mine came to me, actually found that actually he wasn't fitted for what he got, for the job he was doing, and was feeling very, very lost. Because it is a sense of lostness as well, isn't it, loneliness? Or else for many people, they're unemployed, and they're struggling with...
And we go through periods in our life when we do lose our focus in relation to, our purpose, but... Also, if it's not our purpose, which can be separate to our job, it's just getting a job, isn't it?
Yeah.
Moving swiftly on, though, we've got the final category, which is
children, actually.
And you reminded me of this.
Yeah,
it's shame on me. I'm a teacher. I should know. It's like, oh, dear, I didn't include that statistic.
Yes, but it's so interesting how children sort of being thrust. Some children might even much earlier, because you do actually get some children who feel quite alone earlier in life, but once they go to school, particularly children who have social communication difficulties, where they may find it difficult to make friends, and also depending upon whether they're learning difficulties or they just have some disability, that can make children feel very lonely. But also when parents split up and all sorts of reasons that actually makes a child more vulnerable, that it can have them feel alone, lonely, not very valued, affect their self-confidence and their self-esteem at points when really they should be growing it. So
there are two specific, just to pull that apart, Clara,
yeah.
You've outlined there as well, that what causes loneliness, and we can identify it, broadly speaking, into two categories, a change of circumstance.
Yeah.
And also a kind of emotional state of being separate or different to
yes.
other people.
And the interesting thing...
In whatever phase you're in.
Is actually... so that actually in grieving, whether it's that you are bereaved or whether it's that you've separated from a partner or whether it's actually that you're now unemployed, for instance, where your social support has disappeared and people can then see themselves as being very alone. But we did discuss yesterday,
we did indeed.
That there are people who, even in the midst of, being in a relationship, can sort of like move into their own heads so much that they feel very alone and very lonely even within that relationship.
I think there comes a time in all relationships, I mean, they're evolutionary as well, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Where you can become separated from the person that you're living with in your own headspace.
In your own, yes. It's very much about what we do in our own heads, isn't it?
Absolutely. And
that creates that experience of loneliness.
You know, you could be walking around completely unaware that actually you're just dealing with a sense of loneliness.
Yeah.
Now, actually, I used that word wrong. Incorrectly, I should say. We were talking yesterday about the difference between loneliness and loneliness. And I said to Clara, as a single woman mm-hmm. with no children mm-hmm. and no partner, oh, I said that because it's single, and actually no surviving relatives, I'm the epitome of what should be someone who's terribly lonely. But I know absolutely, even now, at one of the most difficult periods of my life in adjustment to various things, personal and otherwise, that actually it's loneliness that I'm experiencing. And I think that I have learned so much about myself and where I currently am at because of being thrust into a position of solitariness, which is okay. I don't ever feel lonely, but I do feel loneliness. Can I throw in a quote here, Clara?
Go on, carry on.
Oh, you lovely
Rosie,
girl.
Rosie very good at finding her quotes and loves them.
I love them to death. My stats and my quotes, well, data because I'm a teacher, obviously, but quotes because I'm a bit of a philosopher. And my quote today comes from Brendan Behan, and he says, "At the innermost core of all loneliness is a deep and powerful yearning for union with one's lost self." What do you think to that, Clara?
Well, I think actually, because I do find this interesting, I would love to look at whether the amount of people feeling lonely has changed over the decades. But I do believe that the system within which we live actually makes it difficult, I think, for people to really become aware of who they are, because we are shaped to do things that fit the system. And maybe
I love that. Yes, that's great.
I think maybe our feeling of being lonely and having lost, you know, yearning for union with one's lost self, is that perhaps for many people haven't actually got to know themselves.
Well, I suppose if you look at it through the history books, women certainly, things have only got better for them, do you think? Because
different. I mean, things have changed.
Things have
certainly
changed.
Certainly, very. I think they've changed. I don't know,
because every, you know, throughout
in many respects,
out of all, through all the you know, generations that are in history, we are thrust into positions of loneliness and not fitting in and having to fight our corner.
Yes, especially through.
I mean, imagine being
going
a medieval woman. I mean,
but the major life changes. But you see, in medieval times, for instance.
Yeah.
When my son was in beavers or cubs or something like that, they had a medieval day.
Mm, lovely.
And we all went to this place, and actually I was there weren't many mad volunteers, and I was one of the mad volunteers who volunteered to put on chainmail and be charged at with
oh,
with
I love it.
Beers,
yes,
and things.
Yes.
And chainmail is incredibly heavy, but that's actually not the thing about what you're talking about.
No.
What was interesting was that, and I don't know actually where Arcala, actually the lady cub person, got her information from, but apparently women in those days,
yes,
were able to examine men's genitalia to actually find before they entered into relationship with them to actually see if it was up to their liking.
Oh, heavens to Betsy. Well, one would never be lonely with all of these prerequisites.
But actually, so you could question, you know.
I mean, there are obviously different balances of power.
But actually, what I'm just wondering is actually on what basis you say that women's lottery is worse or better.
No, indeed. that's quite put me off now. I need my man faults. I need to recline swiftly onto my chaise longue. So putting that aside, let's turn to the point that I don't know if I can. Well, we have to look at the effect of being lonely. Okay, so what does being lonely do to the body, Clara? What does it do to the mind?
Well, I think that the impact of being lonely is because it's a stressful situation. What it causes people to do is to actually compare themselves against others and find themselves lacking, typically. And, you know, whether they're grieving or whether it's just that they're feeling that they are alone and others are not, and then the explanations that they give to themselves for being in that situation.
Yeah, and we talked about the catching yourself with negative mind talk and always being in charge of your own thoughts, which plays really importantly into this, doesn't it, Clara?
You see, I would say that loneliness is actually, sure, it's like a symptom, but actually the way of dealing with it is very much similar to other ways of dealing with, you know, states of thinking that are not conducive for peace of mind. Because I think actually when you're feeling lonely, you're not feeling at peace with yourself. So, I mean, what happens, and as I say, this is so similar to other forms of, you know, we could call it mental distress or negative thinking. You're going to have maybe poor sleep because your mind is thinking and racing away. You may also find that you eat poorly because you're feeling empty and alone. And so you may eat typically what people, I mean, mistakenly think of as comfort foods, are things that actually do anything but comfort them.
Drink.
And people may drink a lot.
Addictions may come into play. You might smoke more, drink more.
People may become actually increasingly socially isolating because their self-confidence and self-esteem is such that they don't feel that they are worthy or valuable enough or skilled enough to go out and meet other people.
That phase in life, you know, when women are, I shouldn't just say women, but I will for now, when they are going through a terrible breakup and they're readjusting their life and they've lost all self-confidence in themselves and they've got to get back out there in order to combat possibly these feelings of loneliness. It's actually quite a brave act.
It is. I mean, but I work both with men and women who actually struggle with, you know, when they've split up, for instance, and they've maybe been in a very long-term relationship. And as you're describing there, Rosie, about people, you know, women having to get up and go out
and do
things that actually were quite easy for most younger people to do. And I'm going to say most because obviously there are those who are feeling lonely and don't. So the thing is then what people can do about it, because, you know, everything is about the way that we think. And so if you are thinking of yourself as being lonely, then actually you have the opportunity of choosing to think and notice other things that are anything other than being lonely. Because typically when your focus is for one thing, such as being lonely, you're just looking for everything that it shows you that you are lonely.
Excuse me.
You know, so, you know, you're walking up the street and you're on your own. And other people are with other people.
Well, I was just saying this to a very dear friend of mine.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Hi, call out to Emma Scott. You're my very dearest friend. We're having a discussion.
Okay.
About, well, I WhatsApped her, and I do this regularly. And I said, today I went to Co-op, and as I was walking out, I saw a lovely couple in their mid to late 50s just walking out with their piles of shopping, holding hands.
Uh-huh.
And I suddenly thought, oh, no. Oh, what? oh no, I've got to, this is the point, I must be lonely. Oh, I must be lonely now. You know, that's just society saying, oh, look, there's a couple of people holding hands.
Yeah.
And that fits with the advert that was on telly last week.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever the propaganda is about the concept of being in a rom-com couple.
Yeah.
And so I know that I had to counterbalance those thoughts because I was perfectly happy chattering to myself, walking around the co-op. Choosing my crab claws and my caviar and annoying the manager, as I like to do. I do think it is elective sport. You have to challenge those moments when they happen. I have to say, my summer of self-reflection...
You had an interesting time this summer, didn't you?
It was being almost forced into... refinding myself, reconnecting with myself, which is why I like that earlier quote and why I think it's so important when these changes in life phases come to you that you grasp them and go forward with them positively. As you know, I have two cheeky chihuahuas and I don't like to take
and them two kittens
in
now.
Two kittens now. I don't like to take them into public or the kittens only.
Oh, by the way, can I just interrupt you just here? Because actually one of the things about being lonely is actually what is maybe misnamed man's best friend dog, which
pet.
So if you're watching the slides of the pictures going around, the dog that is there is little Wes.
We love you, Wesley.
And he's sitting under the chair, keeping my feet warm. Aww. So anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt.
I mean, that's a very good reason. Animal involved.
It's an animal keeping my feet.
An animal's kept me warm
all summer.
You know, I was stuck in a top floor flat, as it happens, on this particular life event. And so I could only take the dogs out in short, sharp bursts into that great heat that we had this summer. And the only place I felt...
they're very tiny.
They're very teeny weeny. You could put them in your pocket.
Yes.
And the only place I felt safe that other large dogs wouldn't jump on them were churches and graveyards.
Yeah.
So I spent a summer sitting on
gravestones,
which I think some people might consider slightly odd. But I did come to lots of interesting conclusions about myself and life and the direction I wanted to move in. And it was only through that forced kind of reflection that I think I've emerged like a phoenix from the ashes into a
sort of like a meditative
state.
I can't think of the word. What is the word? A retreat.
I think
meditative retreat.
I think as well.
For the summer.
I had been even more creative, and I obviously I'm Rosie Ward, director of Creative Women, so I would advocate
you ought to be creative.
I advocate every opportunity you can if you have an allotment of time, whatever that
or
time
an allotment
or even an allotment
yes allotments are fabulous
be creative. Choose that opportunity to reach for something
we
that you've not yet done
your allotment in a heart shape and do all sorts of things, couldn't you? And in fact, actually having introduced you to delicious smoothies today, you could grow all sorts of fabulous things. But anyway, we digress. But actually also what's interesting is ways of people breaking out, doing something different to feeling lonely. You could get an allotment because actually allotments are incredibly sociable places. With wonderful people who just love to talk about fruit and vegetables.
Oh, I've got another quote.
Oh, you've got another quote.
Oh my God, Rosie, beautifully, Clara, with the sense of allotment
and
making connections. The quote is by Dorothy Day, and it goes like this. We have all known loneliness, and we have all found the answer is community.
Well, and that's right, because people need to feel connected. And community can be anything, can't it, really? You can have a community at work. I mean, you can have a community in your neighborhood. You can have a community in a volunteering group that you join. You can have a community in a hobby group that you have. And so community Although Mrs. Thatcher didn't believe in community, did she, Margaret Thatcher? She didn't believe there was any such thing as society.
I would have to examine the text again.
She did say there was no such thing as society.
At least she stood for something.
What?
At least, sorry, I'm just saying what everyone always says when Margaret Thatcher comes up.
Oh, did she?
At least she stood for something.
Let's not talk about that.
But here's a shout out for the beautiful and marvellous Meryl Streep.
Oh, yes.
Can we say from Great Britain, we love you.
Yes.
We hear you. We are part of you and your visions. And actually, we vote you for president.
President, yes. And we totally support your comments on the particular person who should not be named.
He should not be named.
Well, he should never be named, really, because he's so grim. But actually, I'm sorry, I shared the film footage of him abusing that journalist with cerebral palsy. I also shared the film footage of the little boy in a wheelchair with cerebral palsy who we have no wish to name, actually had ejected from his campaign meeting.
I didn't realise that today, so Clara wised me up to that one. But Meryl Streep, you are a woman.
Yes, we are.
In our name and everybody's name.
You are one of our heroines.
You are our tribe. Oh, we can't think of enough descriptive terms because we adore you so.
We think you're wonderful.
Keep doing what you're doing. Anyway. Yes.
And so, for more tips, to conclude.
How can we deal with loneliness?
Well, actually, I'll tell you one thing, because actually very often it's about the habits. Habits only become habits
Habits and rituals, maybe.
Yes, but habits only become habits because we do them so often that we cease being aware of the fact that we're running them. And so one of the ways to become aware of what you are doing is to set a reminder on your phone, you know, so maybe every 3 or 4 hours or something, set a nice little tinkly sound or a little vibration or something like that to remind you to consider how you were thinking and the words that you were saying to yourself. And then choose to say something to yourself and refocus your mind on what you would, you know, what is right now, really. Because it is by training your mind and training yourself at that moment, you can breathe deeply, you know. So, because very often when we're very stressed, we don't think about breathing. We actually breathe very, very shallowly. So those are just some of the most simple ways of just becoming more present to being aware of what you are saying to yourself and the direction that you are thinking so that you can redirect it.
I would say absolutely always, Clara, those important moments of mindfulness are critical to our positive mental well-being. But I would say also just try and enjoy those moments of freedom to think, really get into thinking. You can think positive, lovely things about what you aspire to do, what you aspire to be, what you like to do, where you like to go.
Yeah.
And if you get to the point where, actually, I know I have this, even though I don't have the concept of loneliness during this life challenge phase of mine, I have loneliness. I need to reach just for entertainment sometimes. Stimulation, that's the word. So if you need that, you could reach for community groups.
Yes.
You could reach for online groups.
Yes,
but most importantly, volunteer. Go and do something.
Yes, you could come and join us at the Winterstoke Garden tomorrow.
Yes.
We do a weekly gardening at these listed gardens in Ramsgate, and we're always wanting volunteers. So if anybody listening is close by to Ramsgate, and at a loose end, and also feeling lonely, because what happens is that people have a really good laugh and they enjoy themselves, but it doesn't need to. It can be any kind of volunteering.
Just connect with your community as and when you need it. You can withdraw whenever you like.
And take up a hobby as well. Take up something that could get you into maybe join a class.
Don't forget being creative as part of that.
Yeah, so you could do knitting.
You could do anything.
You could do tapestry. You could do drawing. You could go to life drawing classes. You could go to carpentry. You could go to a yoga class. You could go to the gym. You could join the Ramblers Association. You could join, go take your dog to a dog training
class. Oh, I like that idea because that's jolly.
Yes, there's all kinds of possibilities. All comedy groups, and actually,
I really fancy stand up this year.
Stand up, lots of really good stand up to do it with.
Oh, right, well, guys, across the world, the universe, and the globe, we adore you.
We do, and we'd like to say have a lovely week until our next session,
and happy New Year,
happy 2017. Bye.